Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Christopher Burnham, Assistant Secretary and Chief Financial Officer of the U.S. Department of State. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Paul. Good to be here.
Thank you. And joining us in our conversation also from IBM is Kim Hensman. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Chris, let's start by talking more about the mission of the State Department's Bureau of Resource Management and its activities.
Our mission is built upon the mission of the State Department, and the mission of the State Department is to create a more secure, democratic, and prosperous world. Now, when I was on a board of a dot-com out in California before coming to government from the private sector, you know, we all walked around the Silicon Valley, and in the back of our cards, we had mission statements on the back of them. And from my experience as a Marine, we also know how important mission is. The mission of the Marine Corps is to locate, close with, and destroy. Every PFC knows that. Every general knows that. Well, what we're trying to do is inculcate a culture where everybody within the State Department knows that our mission is to create a more secure, democratic, and prosperous world. Therefore, even though my mission is obviously to go out there and do the strategic planning, the budgeting, performance, budget and performance integration, gather the assets necessary to execute the President and the Secretary's foreign policy priorities, it all ties back to that mission of creating a more secure, democratic, and prosperous world. And whether or not I have a travel voucher examiner, an accountant, secretary, I want everyone within the resource management family to understand that our mission is not to do strategic planning, budgeting, and gather the resources. Our mission is to create a more secure, democratic, and prosperous world. And so that everybody throughout the department, from voucher examiner up to ambassador, up to the secretary, like PFC up to general, knows exactly what we're there for and what the overall mission of the department is.
Well, tell us about your team in the Bureau and the types of skills they have, and even the geographic spread, I'm curious.
Well, we have almost 1,000 people spread out between Bangkok, Paris, Charleston, South Carolina, Washington, D.C., and then indirectly through the financial teams that exist at every embassy and post. They don't work for me directly. Only the 1,000 I mentioned first work for the Resource Management Bureau to aggregate all the information around the globe. And we have everybody in there, as I said earlier, from voucher examiners to accountants to bookkeepers, cashiers. We have 5 deputy assistant secretaries at either the SES or the senior foreign service level that are in the Bureau. It is widespread. We can talk about the structure of the Bureau in a little bit here, but it's really all kinds of skill sets that come to us, even though we have a primary focus on the financial sector.
Now, as I understand it, the Bureau has received numerous awards from organizations like the Association of Government Accountants and the League of American Communication Professionals, just to name a few. Could you tell us about these awards and accomplishments?
Well, in fact, thank you very much for bringing that up, because it's a tremendous credit to the talent that we have within the resource management family. You know, coming from the private sector, from Wall Street, as well as the government of the state of Connecticut, you know, I really wondered when I was going to come down here what we're going to find. And let me tell you that there isn't a corporation in this country that has a finer financial team than I do. I mean, they really are the tops. And they have delivered to us an unprecedented 3 SEER awards. This is the Certificate of Excellence in Accountability Reporting. It's the number one award within the government CFO world. We now have won 3. I think only 2 other agencies have won more than we have, and we're only 4 departments that won the SEER Award, in fact, this year. We've also, as all agencies or departments are, rated by the Mercatus Center from George Mason University. When I got here 3 years ago, we were 2nd from the bottom, the penultimate. We have moved up from 20th just 2 years ago. We're now 3rd. We're the most improved, 3rd of any major department. And so this is also a credit to the men and women I have working for me within the resource management family, just to name a couple of the awards we've received.
Well, Chris, can you tell us about your responsibilities and duties as the Chief Financial Officer?
Well, Kim, you know, it doesn't differ all that much from the CFO role at IBM. I think that knowing a little bit of something about IBM, because I used to live in Connecticut, obviously, and plenty of IBMers around us, and the headquarters, of course, was right up there in White Plains. The responsibilities are similar in that we have absolute stewardship over the taxpayer dollars or the shareholder dollars. And I like to refer to the State Department and what we do there in corporate terms. I guess some guys use football analogies or sports analogies. I like to call visiting an embassy, visiting the factory floor where the widget we produce is a widget called diplomacy. So we have a bottom line responsibility, careful stewardship of the money, understanding where every dollar comes from and where every dollar goes. And in addition to that, it's also the reporting. It's also the budgeting, creating the budget, proposing the budgets to the secretary. The secretary then submits the budget every September to the president. And the president, of course, submits it every February to the Congress. So it's budgeting. It's also strategy, long-term strategy. My office has written the first ever joint strategic plan between the Agency for International Development and the State Department as we coordinate our long-term strategic goals. And now we're breaking out beyond that because there are about 30 other government departments and agencies that are co-located with us abroad that have similar or parallel goals as we do, being the factory floor in a foreign country. Let me explain what that might be. Department of Agriculture has many, many hundreds of people or dozens of people overseas. Department of Justice does. FBI does. Department of Interior, Homeland Security. Lots of people are abroad, and we have to make sure that all of that is coordinated. So as we have coordinated our efforts between State Department and AID, we're now trying to coordinate our efforts between other government agencies as well so that we're all on the same strategic vision.
Well, we've talked a little bit about some of your previous experiences, but can you tell us more about your experiences before becoming the CFO at the Department of State?
Well, you know, it's funny because I've now spent more time in public service with this job than I have in the private sector. It's about 10 and a half years in public service and 10 years in the private sector. After I got out of college, I joined the United States Marine Corps and was an infantry officer in the Marine Corps and Marine Corps Reserve for 23 years. I always had a passion for Wall Street, and you can't grow up outside of New York City as I did in Stamford, Connecticut, and not have an interest in Wall Street because the whole economy is driven by FIRE, finance, insurance, and real estate that we have there. In any case, between a career in investment banking at the First Boston Corporation in New York, at Advest in Hartford, I made the switch from investment banking to asset management, ended up running an asset management company, the equity arm of PIMCO, the Pacific Investment Management Company, called Columbus Circle Investors, and then the PIMCO family of mutual funds where I was vice chairman. And I think it's a terribly valuable experience to have that kind of background. And, of course, in between, I served three terms in the Connecticut House of Representatives and was elected treasurer of Connecticut in 1994. So that experience as well, having the exposure to government. Government works differently. You can't run government like you run a business. There are a lot of similarities. We try and find those similarities so that we can bring proper management controls. Some of the other things I hope we can talk about this morning, such as Sarbanes-Oxley-like controls. But it's important when you're coming to government, particularly as a presidential appointee, that you understand the difference between the world you're coming from and the world you're entering.
Well, you have a number of different positions. Can you tell us a little bit more about how those positions prepared you for your current position as CFO?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When you hear the letters CFO, you think, oh, my gosh, you know, this has to be major accounting and whatnot. In fact, accounting is just a portion of what we do. We obviously do global financial services. We obviously produce a clean, timely financial opinion with an independent outside audit. So, of course, the CFO of the State Department has all those responsibilities. But the primary responsibility is not being an accountant. The primary responsibility is being a manager and leader. And you can't work for someone like President Bush or Colin Powell without bringing management and leadership skills to the job. And I think working for Colin Powell, that is the number one criteria that he has in choosing his senior team. You know, are you going to be a manager leader and give proper management oversight to the bureau or the division that you're in charge of? So I look at my experiences from the private sector as well as my experiences as treasurer of the state of Connecticut that the most valuable have been the management challenges. And that is, in fact, what I think brings best skill set to government. Now, that's not just true for political appointees. That's also true for senior financial managers. You can be a great accountant. You can be a great examiner. You can be a great auditor. But if you don't have the management skills, that is the most critical thing to entering into the senior levels of government, in my opinion.
It's an interesting point, especially about management and leadership. Integrating budget and performance information is a key challenge throughout the federal government. How is the State Department handling this? We'll ask Chris Burnham of the U.S. Department of State more about this when the Business of Government Hour returns.